Hour, Brother Mark Goforth is going to come and speak for us.
Thank you, brother. I'm out of my comfort zone. It's an awesome thing to stand behind this desk. I struggled with what to say today because I'm not a preacher. I don't feel called to preach. I have a son who's called to preach. And occasionally the Lord will give me a word for him. And I'm thankful for that. Recently, I had I guess you'd call it a near-death experience with COVID. I kind of wanted to start out by just telling you a little bit about that and what that has done for me, what the Lord did for me through that. Basically, I ended up in the hospital with COVID. Couldn't breathe. Spent 25 days in intensive care. With a lot of oxygen being pumped into me. Prior to that, I've been living many years dry as a bone. I grew up here. Two weeks out of every year coming to camp. From Michigan. This was the place where I heard the truth 2 weeks out of the year. I've sat under Dr. Lasalle since 1972. 71, 72. I was 4 or 5 years old. And other men of God over the years. But the discipleship that I should have had when we went away was not there. Wasn't there in the churches at home that we bounced around in. I think my message for today is, and this came to me in the hospital when I was laying in bed, and I'd look across the hall and I'd watch guys that I waved to who came in sitting up in bed with all the same gear on them. And then at 3 o'clock in the morning I'd watch them wheeled out after they tried to keep them alive or they die. And I knew I wasn't sick. Because when you lay there and you ask God, well, why is there no chastening in my life? Why hasn't there been any chastening in my life? How can I live all these years so dry? And I heard that small voice. What is this? This was chastening. It was God bringing me to the end of myself. And I remembered the verse in 2 Chronicles. If my people, which are called by my name, let me read it so I don't mess it up. Chapter 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So as I laid there and I started thinking about that verse, And the Lord just kept moving in on me and letting me know that I was his child. And I started thinking, and even after I got home and I got right with my family, and the Lord would keep me up all night long, pointing out things to me that I had to get right with him. I started thinking about what we have to do as Christians. Salvation is free. It's easy for me to look out because everybody's blurry until I put my glasses. Salvation is free. In that it's Jesus Christ and nothing else. I've been telling my brother-in-law the same, that, you know, that it's not the law, it's not the Jewish traditions plus Jesus, it's Jesus and nothing else. But once we're saved, we have a responsibility. And our responsibility, and this may be very short today, I hope you just bear with me. Sure, we can sing some songs afterwards. What are our responsibilities as saved people, as children of God? What are our responsibilities? How do we live the Christian life? We've been talked to about this all week long. But we have to get in the Word. I wrote some things down here. Just looking at that first, what is when humbling ourselves and praying? I mean, prayer is a means of grace that God has given us to live the Christian life. Seeking His face, turning from our wicked ways. Well, that's another thing, repentance. I did a word study on repentance when I was driving in my truck. And I realized I'm a Bible scholar. I reached up and I pushed and I said, "Hey, Google, what does repentance mean in the Greek?" And I had always thought of repentance as just a complete turning. I mean, just turning and going the other way. But it's really a turning aside. It's a daily thing. It's as you're moving along life, and things come. It's a redirection. It's acknowledging our sin and avoiding going into those pathways where we've walked in the past. Well, how do we do that effectively? We have to be in this Word, and it's not just cherry picking. I always cherry pick. I did that whole thing where you just kind of flip. You flip open and you read, and you hope that you get something out of it. You can't do that. You got to study it. You got to look into it. When you go to church and the pastor preaches on something, delve into what he preached on. If you don't have any real direction, but that verse in Chronicles stayed with me for a long time after I got out of the hospital. And let me flip to another place here. Like I said, I'm a little bit scattered, but I along with that, I started thinking about, you know, David in the Bible. What made David a man after God's own heart? He was a good repenter. I mean, he was always on his knees. Keeping a short account with God. Pastor David says that all the time in Georgia. Just keep that account short. Don't let a lot of junk build up and then try to keep your head above water. It just doesn't work. Psalm 51, David says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight,
that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. And wisdom, and find that one. I don't think this is it, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that was one of the other things that I took away from that whole experience in the hospital was a good, healthy fear of the Lord. I don't want to go back to that. I want to keep that account short. But repentance, I think, was kind of the thing that has stuck with me most. Was to continually just repent, because we make mistakes. I mean, constantly throughout our daily walk, our minds go to things we shouldn't be thinking on. And yet if we continue to go before the Lord and repent, just bring those things up. What are the things that we have to do to walk? These things should be simple. I mean, I've been taught them all my life, but the whole thing about being a doer of the word, rather than just a hearer, I've always been a hearer. I would sit and hear, and then I would expect a lightning bolt. I'd look around and I'd wonder, why did these guys get saved? And it made me angry. Why did these guys get saved in church? And I've grown up in church, and I've heard the truth. But why did these guys get saved? And then all of a sudden, man, they're on fire. They're always the first ones in the front. They're always the one jumping up and reading something from the Bible. They're practicing the means of grace. I mean, they're on their knees. They're praying. And that, for some reason, I was blind to that. I was waiting for a lightning bolt experience, and it never came. Maybe the hospital experience was a lightning bolt, but I've found since then, just in reading scripture and the Lord, every time I'm reading, He opens things up to me like I've never experienced before. And I do believe I was saved. I don't think I got saved in the hospital. I think I was saved here when I was 17. And that whole time was just wilderness. I mean, there were blessings along the way, my family, my wife. But it was still wilderness most of the time. Completely lost my train of thought. I found that just getting into scripture and reading and studying and using the means of grace that God, I keep coming back to that. I mean, Ethan asked me a question the other day, you know, about what he should teach kids. And the first thing that popped into my head was they need to understand that there are things that have been given to us by God to walk this Christian life, to walk our walk, and to keep us from sin. And it's prayer, it's scripture reading, it's repenting, it's staying on our knees, being humble before the Lord, being humble before our brothers and sisters. I mean, what's the first thing I did when I came to camp this week? Got in an argument with the caretaker. Because I was offended by something he said. How dumb is that?
And that's affected my every thought I've had this morning. Got to constantly be thinking about, I mean, God talks about it. The Lord talks about it in I had a couple other verses here. Just being, I'm not having a hard time thinking about where I wanted to go, but, forgive me, I freeze up when I get in front of people. I got up early and was writing all these things down, and now I can't seem to get them out. Well, going back to this, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I think my biggest problem was assurance of salvation all those years. One of the biggest takeaways that I had after going back to work, our pastor was preaching on Achan's sin and Achan taking the idols and hiding them. And also in 2 Corinthians, I think that's 6:17. In 2 Corinthians, it also talks about the unclean thing. And I think one of the things I needed afterwards was I needed to know that I was a child of God. I mean, I know the Lord had spoke to me in the hospital and afterwards and really revealed a lot of things. And I had assurance. And I have assurance now. I know I'm saved. But when we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit living within us. And I'd never experienced the Holy Spirit pointing something out to me. And we're in the process of moving. And we needed a camper because we're selling our house. We're moving out to property and we're going to live in a camper. And I saw a camper that I wanted. Man, it was beautiful. It's like 40 feet long, got 3 slide outs. I mean, this thing's, but it's about $40,000. As I was driving out one morning, I went past that camper in my truck on my way to work. And I looked over it, and it was a Friday. And I looked over and I thought, man, if I just go buy a lottery ticket,
maybe the Lord will let me win that lottery ticket. I can go buy that camper. My family can live it. And the first thing, I mean, I'm talking like that, popped into my head. Take not the unclean thing. Did that make me mad? No, I shouted because it was the Holy Spirit revealing unto me that I was his child. He didn't want me to have part of that.
Yes.
And I don't have a lot to give you guys except just to say that we have responsibilities. And the one thing that I learned through all of this was just get in the Word and read and pray and utilize the things that God has given us to walk this walk and to live the life. And whenever anybody asks me about it, just that's all I can tell them now. It's just read and study. I'm a terrible student. I went through things this morning. I went to Wendy's so I could sit with my phone and look things up, and I realized again I'm a terrible student. There are things that we have to do. Yes, it is Jesus Christ and nothing else. I mean that'll get us to heaven. I told my brother-in-law just last week, the week before, because what makes man go to hell? I told him, I said, there's only one thing that'll send you to hell, and that's unbelief. And you have to believe that the Lord Jesus is the only way, and then have faith. But then we do have responsibilities. We have to read, and we have to study, and we have to train ourselves in this book so that we don't make poor decisions. And I don't know if I'm getting across what I wanted to say, which was basically just we do have responsibilities as Christians. And these are just some of the ways that we can walk the Christian life and do what we're supposed to do. And I don't really know what else to say. I know this is very short. Thank you.
Amen.